Amen.
Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for life and health and strength and for your patience and long suffering. Towards us, Lord, for every blessing, for preserving this little place that we have gathered together to worship, and Lord, for the wisdom and strength and the wherewithal for getting it put back into shape. Please bless our time in your presence and our time together. I pray, O Lord, that you would look kindly upon these praises that we're lifting up. Father, that you would answer our prayers, especially for the little family at this time. I pray you too, Lord, for your leadership, for your good hand upon the reading of your word and the preaching of it too. And Lord, just our time together. Please take it, Lord, as a time of working in each one of our hearts and minds. And Father, just doing what needs to be done. Lord, we leave it at your feet. Please bless us and keep us. Thank you for loving us. And thank you, Lord, for your Son, Christ Jesus, as our own personal Savior. Please save more souls. I ask all this in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus, and according to your will. Amen.
Amen.
Starting in the wee black books with number 4, Holy, Holy, Holy. If you'd like to take and turn there, hymn number 4, Holy, Holy, Holy. Let's make a joyful noise.
Stand up for Jesus.
to the book of Joshua, chapter 1. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so shall I be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, Pass through the host and command the people, saying, Prepare you victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan to go over in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it, and the Reubenites and the Gadites and to half the tribe of Manasseh. Spake Joshua, saying, Remember the word which Moses the servant of the Lord commanded to the Jews, saying, The Lord your God hath given you rest, and hath given you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side Jordan, but you shall pass it through your brethren armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them, until the Lord have given your brethren rest, as he hath given you, and they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them. Then you shall return unto the land of your possession, and enjoy it, which Moses, the Lord's servant, gave you on this side Jordan towards the sun rising. And they answered Joshua, saying, All that thou commandest us, we will do. And whatsoever thou send us, we will go. According as we hearkened unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee, as he was with Moses. Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment, and will not hearken unto thy words, and all thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of good courage. Amen.
Good reading. There's a couple of verses that I really like. Probably one of the greatest accolades that the Lord ever gave to a man was to call him his servant. And he calls Moses his servant, but then he goes on to say to Joshua about Moses, As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. And that was a big accolade in the Old Testament, but it goes one further in the New where it says, You are my friends if you do whatever I command. There's a big difference between a servant and a friend, but amen. Thank you for that. Good reading. Much appreciated. Just want to take a moment or two and remind everybody about our prayer requests. I've already had a reminder about a little family, about one of the, what's the young fellow's name again? Robert? Robert Lovell didn't take a stroke. He fell down after getting hit in the head, and they found he had a brain tumour. He's not doing as well as he could be doing, but he's alive. So please do pray for the little family. Please do pray for the that MP. Is it Ames or Amos?
Amos.
A-M-E-S-S, isn't it? So please do pray for that family as well. I'm afraid the way things are going that was probably just the opening salvo and what is going to be a rash of those things. Not just in England, but in the Western world. So please do pray for people everywhere to be vigilant. It is a sad day when what used to be the cradle of modern missions, that's England and the UK, has now become one of the places of greatest need of missionary outreach. People, we need to be our own missionaries
and be ready to reach out to folks. Please do remember that.
Please remember to pray for Steve's daughter and granddaughter, Sam and Louise, for his hospital appointments. Lots going on in the world. A lot of stuff needing prayed for. And don't forget to pray for each other too. Very, very important. Might not be anybody else other than the Lord Jesus Christ defending your honour up in heaven whenever the devil comes accusing you. It's always nice to know that your name is being called out in God's presence. And I guarantee you, just about every single day, all of your names are called out in our household by us, obviously. We talk about you to God. So there you go, we do. And it's all good. Better your ears burning than all of you burning, brother, let me tell you.
That's good for me, brother.
Amen. So is there anything else we need to add to our prayer list that will be updated next week? Has anybody got it?
Charlotte. Colin's on the list, so Charlotte should be on as well.
Certainly. Where?
On the Bethel Friends.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. I was looking under there, I thought, that's good. Yeah. Okay, though.
Special prayer then to getting Laura a family car.
Oh,
it's,
yeah.
It's the only other deal on this car, and it's good. So I give thanks to God for those ones.
My apologies about the other one. But don't even know if it's going to move whenever I eventually get her up and going, but there you go.
Oh, I might give you a couple of hundred for it.
Thank you. You keep offering me money for something that's essentially valueless. Went from 400 down to a couple of 190. That's, we might have to haggle that out over a cup of coffee. Is there anything else, or are we all good? My main prayer request right now is for a decent weather to get the other side of the church.
There was a lot of damage done by that twist.
The salt there.
There's no casualties there, no.
Well, that's good.
But they're expecting more, so just have to wait and see.
Okay. Rightio.
Climate change.
Yes, indeed. Let's have a word of prayer then, and then we will continue. Will, would you pray for us, please, if you would?
Dear Father, thank you for this night, Lord. Thank you for bringing safety and security into the house, Lord. Be present with our company, Lord. Lord, touch us by the Holy Spirit, Lord, and direct us and help us, Lord, and direct us more in your word to our lives, Lord, and direct us and keep us as we start a new week, Lord. With Absent Brown, Lord, with Ling and Frank, Lord, and Esther, Lord, be with them and keep them safe and well and come with them. Also, with us in the week and coming week, and may help us and keep us safe and well, Lord. And Brother Martin's come to divide the gospel, Lord. Give them the words to speak, Lord, and direct through the Holy Spirit, Lord, and touch our hearts and touch our souls, Lord. And may we know that we have received a blessing, like with the churches throughout the land, throughout the world, are opening their church, open the doors, Lord. Lord, you may use it, and Lord, provide souls that are lost, Lord, and save those that would otherwise go to sinners eternally, Lord, in hell, Lord, and save their souls also. Bless us tonight, Lord, and be with Mark, and be with us all, for thy honour, for thy glory, for Jesus Christ, again.
Amen. Thank you, Will. Let's sing another song. Take the big hymn books, if you would. Turn to hymn number 23. There's power in the blood. Amen. That one.
There.
Let's do 173. Lift your foot, we'll stand as we sing. Love lifted me. Amen. Then you should be all be sung out and warmed up and ready and raring to go. Let's go to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21. Have you ever heard the... I would just like to say, I don't give a fig. Has anybody ever heard that saying before?
Say,
yeah. I don't give a fig. Boy. I used to say I don't give two figs, but then I couldn't give 2 10p's for whatever. So, I don't give a fig. I used to think, is that something that I came up with? Or is that a... and then I looked it up and realised that I heard it from somebody else. It's actually an old saying, and I think it doesn't mean figs as in fig trees. I think it comes from a different language where it basically means I really don't care. Matthew chapter 21, beginning at verse number 17. Matthew chapter 21, beginning at verse number 17. And he, that is Jesus, left them and went out of the city into Bethany, and he lodged there. Now in the morning, as he returned unto the city, he hungered. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it, and found nothing thereon but leaves only, and said unto it, Let no fruit grow on thee henceforth for ever. And presently the fig tree withered away. And when his disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, How soon is the fig tree withered away? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever ye ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Amen. I don't give a fig. But in this case, we've actually got three more figs to give you this evening. So let's have another word of prayer, and then we will continue. Christy, if you would, brother, would you lead us in a word of prayer?
Lord, we are thankful for this day, for your goodness, Lord, for all your blessings that you provide, Lord, for walking with us, Lord, your word and this portion that has been read thus far. We ask and pray a blessing upon it, Lord, for just edification of the saints, Lord, that you would be with the preacher as he guides and leads us, Lord, that you would guide and lead him in the first instance, Lord, and just work in hearts and minds here, we pray. Save the lost, Lord, especially those amongst our friends and family. Help us to be that witness, Lord, that they need us to be. Lord, help us shine that light so bright, Lord, that they can see your good works and glorify you as well. Just walk up and down the halls here, Lord, touch each heart and mind. I pray if any have worries, struggles, doubts, Lord, that they would be eased this hour, Lord, to focus on your word, that you would keep the devil far from this place and far from each heart and mind this time. With those that couldn't be here, Lord, for whatever the reason, for those that are sick and downcast, I pray a touch, Lord, for Leonard and my easy manner, that you be with him, Lord, and remember Frank in London, and be with Ling as well, we pray. Lord, just watch over our missionaries, provide their needs, Lord, please, and give wisdom to your country's leaders, we ask in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Crystal. Amen. The I don't give a fig is, it's all part of the one title. I don't know what's going to be on the website. There is a lot, but the truth is I actually do. And today I have four figs to give you. Well, by the end of the day, I will have given you four figs. And the first one that we spoke about this morning was what more do you need? But we were looking at the parable of the fig tree, where the Lord of a vineyard goes up to a fig tree in the vineyard after it has been there for 3 years, watered, looked after, fed, protected, all that good stuff. Says, where's the fruit? And the dresser says, well, Lord, there isn't any. And the Lord of the vineyard says, well, cut it down. At least if I cut it down, I can make a table and chairs or a door out of it, or I can use it to smoke some meat. That's something I found out today. Or I can use it to heat my house. Why should it waste time there that I could actually have something planted there and grown some fruit for me? And of course we have the dresser said to the Lord of the vineyard, well, give it another year. Sometimes plants take a wee bit of time to get over their transplantation. It can be a little bit of a shocking experience. It can take time to find their balance. And we got to talking about that for a wee bit, and we got to the point where the Lord's actually talking about his children, and he's saying, the title of the message was, what more do you need? Was what actually more do you need before you start producing fruit? What more inspiration? What more information? What more provision? What more of everything of the Word of God, of the ministrations of the angels, of the attention of our Father, of the intercession of our big brother in Jesus Christ. What more of the presence of the ministrations of the Holy Spirit do we need before we will start doing the things that God's called us to do? And the truth of the matter is we don't really need any more. Unfortunately, with the way things work in the world at the moment, putting your hand up and saying you're a Christian makes you one of the smallest, most persecuted minorities on the face of this world, anywhere in the world. Even in America, the land of the free and the home of the brave. To stand up and say you're a Bible-believing Christian is immediately going to draw the ire even of some churches. So it's worth remembering. It is difficult, but if you really don't give two figs or one fig about what the rest of the world says or thinks or does, and you only give a fig about what the Lord thinks should be done, there you have your boldness, you have your focus, you have your purpose, you have your power, you have everything you need to be the person that God called you to do. Do. If God, I'm going to tell you here and now, God never called a Christian to sit on their backside and watch TV all day. There is a job for every Christian. Even, and I know there are some that can't get out like they used to, and I know Brother Steve doesn't keep the best, and he's not as fit as he used to be, but I expect Brother Steve to be praying for me every day, and whatever else is going on. That is the very, very least. And Pat, I know Brother Steve keeps Sister Pat busy, so she might only have time to pray for us as well. It just reminds me of, I can't recall one of the prophets. Brother Steve is like many children to Pat. I say the same thing to Monica from time to time. But I'm serious. Every single one that has claimed Christ as their Savior claimed a great inheritance in the greatest of purposes. And that is to produce fruit. So that was our first fig. And that was the parabolic, the gospel in fruit, if you want to put it that way. It shows us the limits also of God's patience. There comes a time whenever you do have to be doing something for Jesus. You should be busy for Jesus. Goodness. And we'll come to the reasons why in just a little bit. Anyone ever heard of a fella called Nathaniel? Not Philip's brother. Philip's brother, wasn't it Philip's brother Nathaniel? And Philip, I think it was Philip, came up to him, correct me if I'm wrong, it was one of the guys that Jesus had been talking to. I feel like Biden standing at the front of the church here, sometimes forgetting these names. But he came running up to Nathaniel and said, "We've found the Messiah." And Nathaniel said, "Can any good thing come out of..." Where was it? Nazareth? Expecting it to be the Messiah to come out of Bethlehem. Obviously not knowing the history. And Nathanael came. And the Lord said, behold a righteous man. Or words to that effect. Nathanael says, how do you know me? He says, before you came here, I saw you sitting under the fig tree. I want for you to know that was a very personal thing for Nathanael. That referred to nobody else, it applied to nobody else, but that immediately, it was almost like it took away any fight that he may have had or any doubts. After all, who could have known where he was sitting before he literally got up and went to see Jesus with his brother? Who else could have known? It made the world of a difference because it was deeply, deeply personal. He may even have been sitting, I have a notion in my head, he was sitting under there thinking, if God really knows where I am right now, he could have been saying that. Whatever was going through his head, he could have been saying that. And God didn't know where he was just at that very moment in time because he said so. Just in the same way that the Lord said, remember he was for doubting Thomas, "Oh, I'll not believe unless I put my fingers in the wounds in his hand and thrust my hand into the wound in his side." What did Jesus do? He appeared and he said, "Thomas, put your fingers in the wounds in my hand and thrust your hand into my side and be not unbelieving." Our God is very gracious. And I know there are many ways to the foot of the cross. People have landed at the foot of the cross because of heartbreak, because of financial ruin, because of great spiritual turmoil, for many, many different reasons.
There's many ways to the cross, but there's only one way to the Father, and that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a deeply personal journey. Every single person that ends up in heaven met the Lord Jesus Christ, just like Paul, Saul on the road to Damascus, met the Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody meets the Lord Jesus Christ. If they end up in heaven, they meet the Lord Jesus Christ before they get there. And they confess their sins to him. They admit that they are wrong and deserve nothing but death. And call upon and cling to the promise that if you ask Jesus Christ to forgive you your sins, he will. Each person must do that. It's not a case of, oh, you're baptized, you're going to heaven. That's not it. Or you take the Lord's table, you're going to heaven. If you take the Lord's table 100 times, that will clean up 1% of your sins every time. That's not the way it works. If you put money in the plate, you can buy your way into heaven. That's not the way it works. It might say that in some of the churches, but that's not the way it works. And doing the best that you can will not get you to heaven. It will make for a good life and a clean life here once you're saved. But it won't get you saved. It is up to you. The Lord says through his word that we should make sure of our salvation. We should actually sit down and say, okay, Catholic faith says that if we do the best we can and have all the sacraments, and after so many masses are said for us, we'll get out of purgatory and get into heaven in about 100 years. In 100 years, nobody will remember your name. I guarantee you that. I don't even know my grandfather's name. That's how bad. Sometimes I don't. That's how bad I am. I know my dad's name and my mom's name, thankfully. I don't know my grandfather's name. I knew my two grannies' names, but I never knew my grandfather's, and that was only a few years previous to me coming into this world. Do you think in 100 years from now that anyone will remember my name? The only person who will, I am sure, will be the Lord God, and that's because it's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's personal. It's something that we have to make sure of, because someday it's only going to be you and God standing against the world, the flesh and the devil. Whether that's in front of a crowd, a baying mob looking for your blood, or whether it's in a moment of real temptation in the middle of a crowd or in your own at your bed at night. It comes down to you and God. It's you, the death-deserving sinner, and God, the soul-saving Savior, if you want to put it like that. It's between the two of us, the two of you. Whether you get saved and go to heaven, what you do with the rest of your life, now that you are going to heaven, it's up to you. And I pray you make the right decisions, and I pray that you do what God calls you to do, and he will deliver everything that you need to do what he calls you to do. Is it a sleepless night? Don't go looking for sleep aids. Talk to the Lord and say, Lord, here I am. I don't know why I can't sleep. Is there somebody that I need to be praying for? Is there somebody I need to ring? I don't know what it will be. Just be like little Samuel and say, here am I, Lord. Here am I, Lord. That's the personal one. That was the one about Nathaniel. Then we have this very odd one, which is almost like a real life confirmation of the parable, where Jesus was going about his journeys and healing people and giving people the words of eternal life. And you know, even as I walked up and down that road, whenever the blackberries were in place, I would have scoffed a couple. Just the quality control issues, you know. Just to make sure the wee bits of jam that you got tasted okay, I quality controlled them. And there were a few that looked really good. They were like that size there, almost like a squash ball size. And I thought, I'm going up to try those. And go up to try it, and I thought, meh. you see a wee worm wiggling on it, waving at you from the blackberries, or you say, no, I'll just leave that. But even I didn't say, no blackberries grow on you forever. But the Lord did.
It's almost like a double tap of the hammer. Because the Lord gave at this time, this is three figs. The Lord cares, you know. He does give a fig or two or three or four. But he said to this fig tree, no fruit grow on you forever. Now, one of the other renditions of this, or recollections of this, says whenever they came back, they saw the thing had withered away to nothing. Again, I do believe, speaking of God's patience, and it's not just a story, it's real. It's not just a parable that people can say, oh, I know the parable of the fig tree. That's like people saying, well, I know God. I could direct you to a little verse in the New Testament that says the devils know God. But they're not clapping their hands and waiting for him to come. They're trembling. They're fearful of the final judgment and their place in the lake of fire. It's real, friends. It's real. If you think the gospel isn't real, well, good for you. You have to work harder not to believe what the Bible says than you do to believe what the Bible says. The prophecies are real. The creation account is real. The fact that we live in a young universe and a young solar system. I love the bits where they tell us that the moon, we're losing the moon. An inch or so every year, it's drifting away. It'll not affect us for the next 1,000 years, even if it's 1,000. 1,000 inches is nothing when you're talking about 750,000 miles. Or even if we were to go back in time, it might be a few feet closer. That's nothing. But the moon's leaving us. The magnetic field around the earth that protects us from being cooked like an apple baking in an oven, it's getting weaker. All the time. And some fool says, well, eventually it's going to reverse. How? Is the iron, molten iron core of the earth going to stop spinning clockwise and start spinning anti-clockwise? And what do you have to do that? Did anybody here ever play with Evel Knievel when they were little? The one where you pulled the thing like that, and a wee wheel went, and you let him go, and he would actually go and pull wheelies and jump, and he never tipped over. Someone going to do that with the earth, with a big like pull, like a chainsaw, and start the molten core, the trillions of tons of molten iron spinning in a different direction to make our magnetic field reverse itself. That is just complete and utter nonsense. The word of God said the earth would wax old as a garment, and it is. The word of God tells us about so much stuff, and it's just the way it is, but the one that really speaks to me is prophecy. But we'll come to that in just a minute. The Bible's real. The gospel's real. Our God is real. Israel is real. All the things that are mentioned in the Bible and are just happening, have happened, and will happen the way the Bible said they would. The greatest of which, I suppose, is Israel. For thousands of years, it was scattered across the world. And people read in Jeremiah and Zechariah, and in the many other threats that God made to the children of Israel if they didn't listen to him, that he would scatter them across the world if they didn't obey him. And he said, the reason I need for you to obey me is so I can bless you, so I can help you, provision you, strengthen you, so that you can be a shining example of what God's hand upon a people, the difference it can make. And that is still the same today, because God wants to bless us. He wants to help us to grow. He wants to help us to be better Christians. It's in the Word of God and how to get it. Apply yourself to the Word of God to seek out God's will. It's real. If it doesn't affect your life, if it doesn't cause you to sharpen yourself up, if it doesn't draw you to the Word of God or drive you to your hands and knees in prayer or have you desperately seeking the presence of God at some times in your life, friends, I would have to ask you, have you really got it? Did you really get saved? It's not just a thought process. It's a supernatural repositioning of you from the broad road that leads to eternity to the straight and narrow road that leads to life. It's a supernatural implanting of the Holy Ghost into the place in your life that you and I used to reserve for our sins. This is what salvation is. The Bible, goodness, it gives us what the real problem is. It's not that we're basically good and we do bad things and we become sinners. We're basically evil. We're born unto trouble as the sparks fly upwards. We are so bad, we needed God Almighty to give us life on the cross for us. It said it in the Word of God. It's been said from, goodness, from the Garden of Eden, example after example after example after example in history of what Jesus Christ would come to do. And guess what? 2,000 years ago he came and he did it. He lived amongst us. He spoke with us. He demonstrated his power to us many, many times. And the end of it all, as Peter said, it is the words of eternal life that make the difference. It's not the thousands fed. It's not the lame made to walk, the blind to see, that those freed from demonic possession, it is the words of eternal life that make a difference. It's real. It has a real diagnosis of our troubles. We're sin-cursed creatures. And it has a real solution for that problem. A great Savior in our Lord Jesus Christ. It's as real as a heart attack. It's as serious as a heart attack. And we would need to get real. Not just tell stories. Not just pat each other in the back and say, oh, that was a wonderful service, although I do like that. Pat me in the back and tell me it was a wonderful service. Somebody will in the way, but he said, I'll say thank you very much. The gospel and how you apply it should affect your life. It should take you away from the beer and turn you to the tea, although some people might say tea is as addictive. It should take you away from the whorehouse and keep you in your own house. It should take you off drugs looking for a high and fill you with the Spirit. It should change your life. Goodness. Do you think it would make you into a new creature? I think it would. It changes people's habits. It changes the way they dress. It changes the way they speak. It changes how they live. It changes their eternal destination. It's real. And the fact that so many of our loved ones are going to hell when we're praying, oh Lord, would you please save those people? But Lord, just do not send me or expect me to do anything about it. That's not how it works. Matthew 11 tells us that he has a job for us, a yoke for us. What does he say? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Right, so it's a rest to serve God. It is. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. For the Christian, for the soul that has Jesus Christ as their Savior, the Father in heaven, as your Father in heaven, and the Holy Spirit as your helper and guide, that has the Word of God in their hands and in their heart and the ministrations of angels, of course it would be easy. There'll be a shock whenever you change. You know, like the plant going from one place to another. It'll be a case of, whoa, whoa. You get the jitters and the knee knocks. I'll tell you the one thing that always settled my nerves, and I still get them, is a few verses of Scripture. somewhere to start. God provides all of that. People need to see and hear and experience you being a Christian if they are to have any chance, if they are to have any example of what it is to have God as your Father in heaven. You're the one. There is a limit, and it's for real. It's personal too. The last one, I have no reference for this, but it's in the New Testament. And you might find it around about Matthew 24, not too far away from where we are. But the Lord said, you guys are, like, you're pretty smart. He's talking to the scribes and the Pharisees and Joe Public. Whenever the fig tree starts putting out its leaves, what do you say? And they said, summer! Summer's coming! Not bad, he said. Not bad. So whenever you see all these signs of the times appearing, you will know that my coming is nigh. And people say, well, what are the signs of the times? What are the signs of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? At the risk of repeating myself, I'm sure we've heard Matthew 24 mentioned. I just love Matthew 24. I started my verse memorization and my Bible study in Matthew. And I love that book, but I love all of the other books that connect to it as well. The Lord said, look out for wars and rumors of wars. And let's be honest, there's always been wars going on in this world. You could hardly turn a page in the Old Testament without the children of Israel getting beaten by or beating the living daylights out of the Philistines, the Amorites, the Moabites, or the Egyptians, or somebody like that. There's always a war going on. But now we've got our rumors of wars rife. Everybody gets them right up to date, don't we? Has anybody got that? We've got a plastic and gold and LED, whatever, stuck in their pocket. You can see what's happening anywhere in the world. He said there'd be wars and rumors of wars, and there would be famines. Well, there are famines, especially in the African nations. But there are famines elsewhere. If we're not careful, there'll be a famine here. There'll be lots of food stuck in the fields, rotten where it is, because there's nobody out there to ship it or to pick it. Goodness. But there are famines in the world. And there's pestilences too. And 3 years ago, the pestilence that I would have been mentioning up here would have been HIV. The most protected fatal disease in the world. Where you are allowed, if you're infected, in fact, you are encouraged to go out into the world and to spread your, in quotes, love for your fellow man. Where it's actually against the law to say, well, hold on a wee second. This is more fatal than Ebola. And it's more fatal than COVID. And people are freaking out and dancing a jig when somebody blows their nose or sneezes. But they say, oh, you're our bosom buddy when you have HIV. My goodness. That goes hand in hand with the prophecies in Isaiah that said they would call evil good and good evil. That people, everything would be upside down. Parents want to be children. Children want to tell their parents what to do. The old want to be young and the young want to be old. And the men want to be women and the women want to be men. My goodness. Whoever would have thought people would have had so much time on their hands to think on these things. But there you go. This is where we are. These are the signs of the times. We were speaking about Israel. Most hated country in the world. Simply because God has his hand on it. And he's saying, you want to see what's happening in the world? You watch Israel. And he said, me, the one that scattered the Jews to the four corners of the earth, I'll gather them again. And that just happened about 73 years ago. My dad was a teenager whenever it happened. I would love to have been in the church of the preacher that was preaching a message about the restoration of Israel, turned on the radio and heard the news about Israel being restored as a nation. I would love to have been in that church. That would have been hard to preach a message next week after that one. That Israel became a nation in our lifetimes, friends. Just like God said it would. Against all the odds, even America and Britain were against Israel becoming a nation. And yet it became a nation. In spite of everything the world, the flesh, and the devil tried to do to stop it. Jesus said, look out for these signs. We didn't finish about our pestilence. Of course, now we have COVID. And the world has literally stopped for a year and a half. Who would have thought? But there you go. The Lord said, before I come back, there'll be false Christs and false prophets. And we have them. They have men standing behind the pulpits, women too, that won't even tell you that you're a sinner and you need to get saved. They'll tell you, oh, you'll be all right. You'll be grand. You don't need that salvation thing. And then you'll be saying, well, why did Jesus say to a minister, you need that salvation thing? And you're saying, you don't need that salvation thing. There's one of you who's not right. Is it you or is it the Jesus Christ of the Bible? When you uphold denominations that hate the gospel, and yet will turn up for their seat at the World Council of Churches and the ecumenical movement, you will know that we live in the days that the Lord said there'd be false Christs and false prophets. There'll even be lying signs and wonders that even the very elect will be deceived. These are the days that we live in when you have the likes of Benny Hinn and his cronies healing people with their badly laundered jackets, waving them at the front seat and the BO knocking them over backwards. These things are happening. And people believe that these men are the men of God. They're not. And if anybody has a question, and they hear one of these guys coming to this neck of the woods, I have a spare room in the house. It's beside the bathroom. It's almost like an ensuite, but we still have to use it. I will lodge them. I will feed them. Well, my wife will feed them. I will take them to any and all hospitals. And my wife will do their laundry until we have done all the hospitals in Northern Ireland. And they can heal everybody in them. I will do that for any of these lying, thieving, murdering gits that dare to say they have a healing ministry. I'll take them around everywhere that there's sick people. And we'll start at your house, Brother Steve.
Thank you.
We'll get you sorted out. Well, I actually might start at my house, but we'll get to your house next. We'll sort my knees and my back out first. These are the days that we live in. Do you know what would have happened 2,000 years ago if one of these men had stood up and said, I'm a prophet of the Most High God? And they would have said, okay, give us a wee prophecy there. A short one that's going to happen in the near future. And if they gave a prophecy and it didn't happen, you know what would have happened to them? They would have been executed. It's too easy to stand up and say you're a career Christian now. There's no consequences for being a liar and a thief. But these are the days we live in. 2 Timothy chapter 3 talks about traitors in the pulpits. Men that should be telling people you need to get saved, that you are not okay. That you need Jesus Christ as your Savior. We have them. These are the signs of Christ coming back, and just a few of them. Even in Christian circles, it talks about people being so complacent, so lax. They won't read their Bibles. They won't say their prayers. They won't bear their hearts to the Lord. They won't surrender themselves for service. It says because of iniquity that is born in our lives, because we love, even as Christians, sin. In order to fit in with the world, the flesh, and the devil, we let sin into our lives just a wee bit. We still want to turn up at church and feel good with someone. It says the love of many shall grow cold. And that's happened. For a few extra shekels in the pocket, it's amazing what what priests will do. The priests back in the old days, they had a certain amount of time, 400 years. Lord said, let's see what you can do in 400 years. And in 400 years, they were taking payments in the back pocket from the money changers and from the sellers of animals to actually have them in the entryways of the temple. Sure, didn't Jesus go in and clear them out a couple of times with whips and turn over the money changers' tables? These are the days, friends. People, the guys that are running churches today are robbing the congregation blind and lying to them and sending them to hell. In Matthew it said too that if Jesus didn't come back, there would be no flesh saved. And that doesn't mean saved from hell and the lake of fire. It means actually saved alive and heart beating and neurons firing, that sort of a life. Things would get so bad that we would wipe ourselves out. And that wasn't even possible 50, 60 years ago. We didn't have the ability, but now we do. I don't know what the current ability of mankind is to kill itself. I don't know if it's 7 times, 10 times, 20 times. Basically, there's enough fissile material, there's enough bottles of chemicals and enough jars of bugs to kill 20 or more times as many people as there are in the world today. That's upwards of 150 billion souls. That's frightening, and that was mentioned back in the days when a bow and arrow was the longest range weapon that you could lay your hands on. You probably didn't even, what sort of world could that be? Matthew must have wondered as he wrote that down, where every single soul in the world could be put to death. Those are the days we live in. The days when people think it's fashionable to make fun of Christians, to persecute them. Here we are. And I do know from, I think it was a Voice of the Faithful meeting that we went to in the City Hotel many years ago, there is an anger in the Catholic Church against Christianity. But I know there's an anger in the Methodist Church against Christianity because it's always those born-agains that give them the most bother. And there is an anger in the Church of Ireland against born-again Christians because who in the world gives you the right to go and preach the gospel, to go round the doors? I was asked by a retired Church of Ireland minister. Really? It's like Jesus is the guy you've been working for your whole life that's put a roof over your head and your shirt on back to front. Who do you think? Give me the authority. These are the things Jesus put in the Word of God. He inspired his prophets to write down, and he said, when you see these things start to happen, time is running out. The limits, my patience, is running out. He said, whenever he does come back, every eye would see him. Back in Jesus' day, your line of sight was as far as you got to see, a couple of miles maybe to the horizon. Now we can see anything going on anywhere in any part of the world as long as there's a drone with a camera and a Wi-Fi connection. We have the ability to see Jesus no matter where he comes from anywhere in the world. That was not available in the Lord's day, and yet he said it would happen. He'll come as the lightning shineth from the east even until the west, or the west until the east. So shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Every eye shall see him, and there'll be a great weeping and gnashing of teeth and so on and so forth. It's all there. There'll also be the ability to give images life. Doesn't it say in the book of Revelation that he will cause the image of the beast to be given life? We can certainly give images life these days. All these things were written down 2,000 years ago, before even the concept of our technologies and abilities were just words that they were written down and made no sense to those men, but they faithfully preserved them so that you and I could read them. I give you Jesus' words to his disciples. He says, I'm telling you these things now so that when they happen, you will know I'm God, and that you can believe the things that I say. He gave us these things in his word. He supernaturally preserved it and protected it so that we could read it now. The words of, if you want, cavemen, trying to describe modern technology 2,000 years ago and understand that Jesus Christ is God. That's what he gave us these signs for. And there is quite literally no other sign that we are looking for right now other than the rapture. And if your soul is saved, you will get to see that one up close and personal whenever it happens, from the clouds or looking down from the clouds. There is not one more sign that we're looking on. So what does that mean for you and me? Parables were given so that we could understand heavenly what? Works, heavenly engines, the way things work supernaturally from the way things work naturally. That's what the parables were given for us to get a grip on the way God works. And then we get to see it for real in the fig that was actually condemned by God Almighty. And it's not just something that happened somewhere else. I want you to remember, 2 years ago we were preaching about famines and plagues and pestilences and diseases everywhere else. It's here now. It's everywhere. It's personal. It applies to each one of us. And all the things that the Lord said would happen, have happened, or are happening right now. So in the words of Peter, 2 Peter 3, he said, if all these things burned up, and all the things that we fill our pockets with are turned to ash, what sort of person should we be? If all these things are happening just like the Bible said it would, what sort of person should we be? Most people, most Christians, will say, if you'll excuse me and indulge me for using the title again a couple of times, I don't give a fig. That's somebody else's job. Somebody else will do that. I don't give a fig. I want to tell you, Jesus does. Four of them, and we should too. There are people's eternities that are resting on the decisions that you and I make with the rest of our lives. Let me tell you, friends, just because you're young does not mean you have 50 years in front of you. I remember being in a takeaway. It would have been 15 or 16 years ago. And the girls in the takeaway, we were chatting when I was waiting for my food to be made, and they were talking about, oh, there was a 40-year-old man, and he had a heart attack and died whenever he was playing football. And I thought, that poor old man, I thought, hold on a second. I'm 40 years old. Your eternity can come. And land at your door an awful lot more quickly than you realize. And it nearly did for me 2 years back. And I appreciate your prayers. I will never forget people's help and prayers. And my good wife and everything that the Lord did. Keeping my head screwed on and keeping my feet in this world. Although I might take you to task in eternity and say, I could have been here years ago. But I'm enjoying this right now. Please. Have a care. Give a faith. Amen. Stop in there. Amen. Right. Does anybody that give me a song? Did we actually not sing it? Did anybody choose 146, was it? Shelter in the Time of Storm? Or did somebody choose a song that we haven't sung?
Someone chose that one.
Yeah, okay. 146 it is. If you're able, we'll stand as we sing Shelter in a Time of Storm. Turn everything on. Travels home and shake hands in fellowship whenever we're dismissed. God bless you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you again for the time of your presence and amongst the brethren in your word. Lord, please work in each one of our hearts and minds, and please work in the hearts and minds of those souls that don't yet know you as Savior. Even at this up and coming time of Halloween, Lord, please, please, Lord, speak to hearts and minds. We just love you. Thank you for loving us, Lord, and for giving your life for us while we were yet enemies, and for, Lord, just for all that you continue to do for us. Bless us as we go our separate ways, and Lord, see us back at the next appointed time. I pray especially for the weather the next week or two, Lord, and the work being done in the church. We most of all for your will to be done. We love you and thank you. Amen. Amen. Folks, we're dismissed. God bless you. Shake hands and fellowship for a little bit.